number of years ago, I gave Pastor Kurt a new assignment. It was to start a Reformers Unanimous chapter at our church. Previous to that, we had been to several conferences that spoke about this program that helps people that are struggling with various addictions, and so he spearheaded that. And 4 years ago, we started our first service, and 4 years later, it's been going strong. A lot of folks have been encouraged. A number of people have been saved. People have been added to the church, baptized. We've seen some great things happen with our RU program. And from that also, Full Throttle is a teenage program that was established under Pastor John Bradford's leadership. And these two programs run every Friday night, 7 o'clock. And it's been a blessing to our church. And to celebrate our four-year anniversary, we have Brother Ben Burks with us here today. So Pastor Kurt's going to come, just tell us a little bit, whatever he wants to talk about, RU, and then introduce Brother Burks to us this morning.
Well, it's hard to believe it's been 4 years since we started on the second Friday night in March. We launched into the RU world, and it was a blessing. Our first night, we had 2 students and 17 workers that first evening, and last night at our fourth, not last night, Friday night at our fourth anniversary, we had 90 in attendance. So that was a real blessing, and we're very grateful for the Lord for that. And it was all our people. They were all people that attend RU. We did not have any other RU groups come, although I had tried. So that was a real blessing as well. And as Pastor said, we started a year and a half ago, Full Throttle, which is an outreach to teenagers. And that's been going strong as well. And I believe there were 27 teens here Friday night as well. And that's good. So if you're currently a worker in RU, I'd just like for you to stand. If you work, group leader, assistant group leader, or watch the children, stand up, would you please? Okay, thank you. No, don't sit. Stay standing. Now, let me just say that we have quite a few actually in the kitchen cooking, and we have one who is right now trying to catch that pig and cook it before we get out here today. So, you know, there's quite a few more workers as well. So we're very grateful for them as well. Now, if you have ever attended RU on a Friday night, either as a past worker or a present student, would you please stand as well? Well, amen. Praise the Lord. God has been good. And like I said, there's a whole host that are still out back in the kitchen. So we're very, very grateful. You may be seated. Thank you. It's been truly a, I should have added Full Throttle as well. It's truly is a pleasure to be the director of RU. It's been a tremendous, tremendous undertaking for my wife and I, something we have just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. I cannot tell you just how much it has benefited our lives personally and how much of a joy it is to work with the folks that come out here on a Friday night. And they come out for a wide variety of reasons. Some do come out because of a current addiction to whether it be alcohol or some type of drug, or if there be cutting, or whether it be pornography or any such stubborn sin, an addiction that one may have. Many are out for that. Many come because they're dealing with discouragement and depression and things like that. So many are out for that reason. And not everybody that is in this room is part of, not everybody that is here. RU is far more than just here. We have quite a few people that drive some over an hour to come to RU on Friday night. And they have done so faithfully for quite a while. And RU is something very special. And I think what makes it special is, first of all, without a doubt, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is He that on Friday night we exalt. It's He who we teach our students to trust as their Savior, and also to surrender to Him in a daily walk. The Spirit-filled life is what RU was truly all about. And what a blessing that has been. And one of the things that we have really tried to do here on a Friday night is create an atmosphere where anybody who comes will will, first of all, not feel any kind of judgment or anything like that, but will know and feel the love of Jesus Christ. And I will say that our students are absolutely terrific at that. I mean, people come in there and they love on them right away. And if one of them goes astray and comes back, they accept them, they welcome them, they love on them. And, you know, all of that is what we were taught from Brother Burks and Brother Currington and Pastor Kingsbury in Rockford, Illinois at the conferences. And it's been our pleasure to have Brother Burks here with us several times before. And I remember when we first started, when I first met Brother Burks, I was, wasn't 100% sure, because he is from the South. Don't be offended if you are too. But quickly, the Lord revealed to me this was truly a man of God, a man who walked with God. I remember one specific Monday morning, I picked him up to take him to the airport. I believe it was around 4 or 4:30 in the morning. And Brother Burks had, is a diabetic, and he had a problem with his sugar in the middle of the night. And I know what that does. And I knew he'd hardly gotten any sleep at all, but yet he still that morning came out and had walked with God and had a verse of scripture to share and something God gave him. And that day I said, this is a man of God that deserves to be followed and served. And I'm very grateful for his friendship, for his help. He has helped me in more ways than I'll ever know. Hopefully the Lord in eternity will reveal that. So it is my great joy and pleasure to introduce you Brother Burks, who is the International Director of Reformed Mission Adventists. Let's give him a hand, shall we, this morning?
Brother. What a joy it is to be at one of the chapter of the year of RU, the RU program. And I hope you saw that plaque that was presented in October, and it's down in your RU room right now. And with great pleasure, I surprised Brother Schindenberger with that. And it takes a unique, you know, a unique director to earn that, and a unique chapter. I was just in a church. Now, there we go. I'll put it back here. I was in a chapter a couple weeks ago in Tennessee, church about this size, probably, maybe a little smaller. And when they first started, and it just got, you know, the RU program just began to consume. And ministry started to fade off, and people began to leave. You know, when I went there this few weeks ago, there was, you know, 20 people on Sunday morning church service, and all of them were RU people, and the pastor was the director, and it was just, it was a mess, you know. And I spent a very long, laborious weekend trying to encourage that pastor, because you cannot have an RU if you don't have a strong church. You can't. It's a ministry of the local New Testament church. And I'm glad that's the case here. Amen. So thankful for your pastor. I call him Pastor D. I have a hard time pronouncing his last name. And then I think, that's not fair. He ought to be Pastor A at least, or maybe B, but not D, you know. I love this brother and love Pastor Schindenberger. And I'm thankful we were able to include Brother Schindenberger in our Director's Advisory Council this year. And then you guys opened the second full throttle class in all of America. You know, it just, we had given permission for a church in Ohio to prototype a different type program. And Brother Schindenberger had heard about it through the year before, and went there and learned how to do it and started it. And now we've launched that, and there's 25 full throttle chapters open, and they're opening two or three every week now. And so I was excited. Thank you so much for the little thing you gave me this weekend with the Testimonies Teenagers. And let me commission you, let me encourage you to reach public school teenagers. Amen. We're living in a world where the only hope they've got is somebody like you to walk in there. We're going to send you some free things in just a few days to to take into the public schools and neighborhoods and invite people to the Full Throttle meeting. And it is a joy. I've enjoyed the service this morning, and what a thrill to be here. RU is continuing to grow. We still have basically the same staff as the last time I was here, and we're moving forward. If you're at the conference this year, the Sunday, the conference started on Monday, but we had a guest speaker on Sunday night, and we were in our facility where we host the conference on Sunday night. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday night, our 1,000th church that started RU came over this fax line, you know. And so now we're at about 1,027 people that have started RU. We're in 32 different foreign countries. Just launched Singapore this past week. I'm going to the Philippines. We have been putting a hold on the Philippines for 3 years now. And I will be in the Philippines with Pastor Kingsbury and another preacher, Brother Griffin from Pasco, Washington, who's spearheaded this for me. We've got a man that is a graduate of our men's home and from North Love that is going to be a missionary to the Philippines, and he's going to take RU there. So he's going with us, and we're going to launch it in a big way, Lord willing. So you pray about the Philippines, and then we're slipping over to Vietnam while we're there because we've got some interest in Vietnam now. And so it's just humbling. The last couple of years since I've been here, we've been in South Africa, and I think we've got 13 different churches in South Africa that are doing RU now, and they have embraced it tremendously. And again, I'll tell you, as I first told you, the program doesn't work. It's Christ that does the work. Amen? And overcoming stubborn habits and addictions is not a 12-step program. It's not a 10-step program. It's a one-step program. It's not a what, it's a who. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the music this morning, Psalm 23. Everything I read in this book, I read from that hidden life perspective, from Christ doing the work in us and through us as a Christian. That Spirit of God, that part of God that God lives in us as Christians. And there in Psalm 23, I was singing this morning, and I love that song, "Surely Goodness and Mercy Shall Follow." And I began to look at that psalm and look at, you know, what the Lord does for us. You know, He leadeth me beside still waters. He, you know, restoreth my soul, and all the things He does and wants to do for every one of us, His children. And then I begin to look at the three things where it says I. And all three of those things deal with a mindset. And that's how the victorious Christian life is won. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Through a mindset. And I shall not want. That's the first one, you know. And covetousness is certainly a problem. And then the second thing, I will fear no evil. You know. And then the third one, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And not just on Sunday, but every day. I'm going to, you know, that mindset that this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so it is a joy to be here. And just so encouraged by this church and the testimony and your heart for missions. And thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a breath of fresh air. And what you do for me, I told the Sunday school class this morning, you know, I've been here more than once. I don't go a lot of places more than once. My schedule takes me so many new places. But there's just a handful of places that refresh me more than I think I refresh them. And this is one of those places. Thank you. I don't think there's anywhere around, any place like this place, anywhere around this place. So this must be the place. Amen. And if you're not a member here, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm just telling you, because I'd be a member here. I'm just telling you. If Ben Burks lived in this area or 25, 30, 50 miles from here, this would be my church. That would be my pastor. And that would be my pastor. And I would park it right here. I'm just telling you. And that's with great confidence I can say that. And hope that's your heart as well. Take your Bible this morning and thank God for His Word. And we're going to turn this morning to the book of Galatians. I'm just going to read some verses here, and and we're going to hit it. We're going to end up in Genesis here in just a few moments after I pray. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the Spirit-filled Christian life and what does the Spirit of God do? What is the purpose? What is God's Spirit? Where does the Spirit of God move? That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I look here in the Bible, and we've got some key passages we've used when we first came here 4 years ago, and we continue to use them. Just encouraging passages to give us a confidence that it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasures. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then." Now, chapter 5 starts out, "Stand fast there in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with this yoke of bondage." Christ making us free. And then verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Take repeated steps under the influence of the Spirit of God, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look, if you will, in Ephesians, a couple pages over, chapter number 5. Another verse that we often use when we think and talk about the Spirit of God. Chapter 5 and 6 is filled with all kinds of relationships, but none are more important than the first one. In chapter number 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," outside of the boundaries is what that means, "but be filled with the Spirit." The word "filled" means to crown at the top. I mean, if I had a vessel up here, and I've done this in churches, I bought a vessel up and filled that vessel with water, and I ask, is it full? But then you can continue to pour water in that vessel until it literally rises. It's one of the laws of thermodynamics. It will rise up above the top, and you can actually see water outside of the vessel. It will crown at the top. That's what that word means, to be filled, to be crowned, so that one more drop, it's going to come out. You know what comes out of us is because that's what's in us. Amen? I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know. And so, where does the Spirit of God, the one that lives inside of you, we'll go back to that at the end, where does He like to move? Where does He like to work? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that this sermon and this thought would consume our minds for the next few moments. And Lord, when we dismiss here in just a little bit, it won't be soon forgotten. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, because let me just give you a note here. When I study God's Word, I like to go back to the first mention in God's Word. Or there's two things I do when I study the Scriptures. The first thing I do, like I did in Sunday school this morning, I look for repetitious phrases. For instance, when God repeats Himself in the Scripture, either a word or a phrase, it's really important for us to zone in on that, because God's trying to teach us something. God's trying to show us something. For instance, in the book of Genesis, there's some repetitious phrases. "And God said," "and God said," "and God said," "and God said." You know why God said that so many times in Genesis? It's because God wanted us to know He created the universe. But He wants to tell us how He did that. He did it with His Word. God spoke the world into existence, and we have the power of God's Word in our hand. The same words that spoke the world into existence, we have in our hands today everything that pertains to life to guide us and direct us. Amen? Right there, the power of God's Word. There's another phrase there, "and it was so, and it was so, and it was so." You know, everything God says is so. He can't lie. "And it was good, and it was good, and it was good." You know why? Because everything God does is good. You know? And so you learn in the Scripture from these repetitious phrases. There's a second principle in Bible study, and that is to go to the first mention of that word, or the first mention of that topic. And you can, in my opinion, when you go to the first time it's mentioned, God should reveal some things to us that maybe is so rich and valuable that maybe aren't mentioned in other places in the Scripture. And the first mentions, you can get so much out of it. So today we're looking at, where does God's Spirit move? Where does God's Spirit like to work? So go back in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 1. We'll find that phrase and learn this morning where those places are. Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I want everybody to say the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words with me. Ready? Go. And the Spirit of God moved. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We're going to talk about that today and look at this verse and tell you some places that God's Spirit likes to move. You know, the Bible tells us here about some places that God's Spirit likes to move. Now, most people that read Genesis 1, they're looking at the world. They're all worried about, you know, the what are they? What is that thing always in the news about the, you know, it's supposed to be hot, but it's cold. And what is that? Global warming, yeah. We're all worried about global warming or saving the wolves or saving the whales or all that kind of stuff. But what we really ought to be focusing in on is God and what God's doing. Amen? Where God likes to work and His majesty and His reign and His worship. And that's what we learn out of the book of Genesis. And so the first place I find here that you may want to jot down, the first place that I believe God likes to move according to Genesis chapter 1, that God's Spirit likes to move in empty places. You see, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void. And I love churches that have a heart for missions. I love churches that have got a vision and a heart to talk about missions and to have missions conferences and to support missionaries, of which I am eternally grateful for that. But God's Spirit loves to move in empty places. Amen? Boy, does it ever. God repeats that and shows us here in the Scriptures that God is all about a pioneer work. God's all about getting the gospel where it's never been. Amen? And we ought to be about that as well. In fact, remember in Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, he said these words, So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I'm going to go tell the gospel to people that have never heard it before, never had the opportunity before. And boy, I like that, don't you? God's Spirit likes to move in those kinds of places, to the regions beyond, I must go, where the story has never been told, to the millions that never have heard of His love, I must tell the sweet story of old. Boy, I love that. I remember when I was a teenager in my home church, we had a man that was going to East Germany that came to visit our church. He was trying to raise money to go to East Germany. Now, East Germany in the 80s was closed. You couldn't get into East Germany. 76 or something like that. I forget. When did East Germany open up? Anybody remember? History lesson. So I Google it. No, just kidding. Don't you dare. But I lost you for sure. But, but East Germany was closed. And as a child in that church service, our pastor said, this man, God's called him to East Germany, and he's trying to raise support. We're the first church that has accepted him. Now, most pastors, when he calls them, they're like, they never call him back. They never get a part of what he's trying to do because East Germany is closed. You can't take the gospel in East Germany. You get arrested. You can't go there. And this man, that night, humbly gave what God was doing in his heart and was searching for support. Our church supported him. His home church supported him. And that was it. And it was like he was never going to get to the field. We got a report that his home church had done some things and moved some money around so that this family could go ahead and go to East Germany by faith, believing that God was going to do something. So our church upped our support, and this family went to East Germany, this husband and wife, to get the gospel. Actually, they went to West Germany, just across the border. It was open. And they went to West Germany, and I never forget, I came home from college, and this man had been there for 5 years, and he was back, and he was speaking in the church when I was home for college. And man, I mean, I just sat back there and wept. This man went to West Germany not knowing how in the world God was going to open the doors to East Germany. And one day he went down to the border, and he just stood around the border and listened and watched. He came back home and he told his wife, let's put Bibles in the trunk. We got Bibles in their language. We're going to fill the trunk with Bibles. And then we're going to put bananas on top of the Bibles. So they filled the bottom with Bibles and they put bananas all in the top. And he and her went to the border and they got in line and they were going to cross over into East Germany to pass these Bibles out and begin a work. He said, the man told him to get out of the car, looked in the car, didn't see anything, told him to get out of the car and open the trunk. They pulled over to the side, he gets out of the car and opens the trunk. The guy looks at the bananas and kind of moves the bananas, and he picks up a Bible, a box, and he opens the box and picks up a Bible, and he said, what's this? And the missionary said, sir, my name is such and such, and God Almighty's called me to go to East Germany to get the gospel in. And that's a Bible. That's a book from God. And I believe God wants me to take them over there and distribute them in that country. He thumbed through the Bible and he put it back down. He said, what are these? He said, those are bananas. He said, well, you give me the bananas, you can take the Bibles into East Germany. And for the next 2 years, before that wall came down, for the next 2 years, God used bananas to get Bibles into an empty, dark place. Hey, it's time. It's time God's people quit hiding. It's time for us to quit cowering to this world. We have a living God. We have a powerful spirit that loves to move in empty places. We ought to be praying for that this morning. Our hearts ought to be burdened for the places in this country that are void and empty. I'm talking this morning about the 1040 window. I'm talking about 3 billion people, and most have never heard the clear presentation of the gospel you'll hear this morning. 66,000 of them die every single day. And God's Spirit wants to move there. We have the privilege to give to missions. And we have the privilege to pray to that Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, how much do you want me to give to that? How much do you want me in on that? Because that's where God's Spirit likes to move. And if He wants to move in that place and He lives inside of you and me, don't you think that's what we'd be about? Amen? World missions and getting the gospel to empty places. The second thing in your text, God's Spirit likes to move in dark places. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. I don't know how else to preach this point, but to tell you, you can put a big old RU beside those words. Amen. Because RU works in some deep, dark, lonely places. People that have been forsaken. People that have made bad choices, people that are incarcerated, people that are on death row, people that, and on and on and on and on the stories go. Testimonies that Brother Schindenberger's told me this happened in the last 4 years here is God's fingerprint of where He likes to work. He loves to work in dark places. Amen. And your marriage may seem dark, and your loved one who is addicted and away from God may seem awful dark and awful confusing and awful, don't know which way to turn. I got news for you. That's where God wants to work. Amen. That's where God likes to work. And we ought to be inviting people like that, people that live in dark places. We ought to be inviting them to an RU program. We ought to be inviting them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great opportunity that you guys have seized here. And yet there is room. And yet there are people here. And yet there is a vision here. And yet we must press on. There's dark places out there. And God's Spirit, now that lives in us, loves to move there. Amen. The dark places. He loves to move in those dark places. Genesis 6:3 says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also in the flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. This was written right before that time of the flood, and yet God's Spirit was still working there in a very dark place. Psalm 139 tells us, that even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." God loves to work in those dark places. Number three. I said, number one, God likes to work in empty places. Number two, God likes to work in dark places. Number three, God's Spirit loves to move upon the waters. He said, "Brother Birch, what's that? The other two is easy for me to understand, but what's the waters all about?" Brother Schindenberger and I have something in common. I love fishing. I mean, I love to go. I was striper fishing a few weeks ago, and I don't go a lot, but certain times of the year I get to go once in a while. And I love being out on water. I love watching water. If I could live anywhere but Rockford, Illinois, that'd be my desire. But my desires are not God's desires in that area. It's cold there. It's getting nice, though. Spring's coming, another month. But I love water. I love that. And I've been on some water that's gotten rough. I've been in Hurricane Dennis down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, when it tore up two piers. And I've seen some awful waters because of the wind. And when wind and water mix, I'm telling you, that water goes wherever that wind wants it to go. Amen? And I take that same principle and I apply it to this scripture. And I believe what God's telling us here is God's Spirit moves wherever God wants it to. Amen? God's Spirit moves wherever God wills and wherever God wants it to move. That may even be in places that you don't want it to move, or you don't have faith for it to move. God might want to save somebody that you don't think gets saved. I don't know if our president's saved or not. I know we're supposed to be praying for our president. But I'm amazed at Christian people, some call themselves pastors. I'm amazed at the attitude and the spirit that I read on Facebook from God's people. I'm not saying I agree with the man and what he's doing, but God might want to save him if he's not saved. You ever thought maybe that's where God's Spirit wants to move? And we ought to be about helping that take place. Not driving him from that. Not driving our senators and our congressmen away from that. Because God's Spirit likes to move in places that we wouldn't have any idea that's where he likes to move. Because God's Spirit will move wherever God wants it to. Amen? And we ought to have that desire too as we see people that cross our path. John 3:8 says this, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." What an incredible verse in the New Testament to seal that thought. I preached this, my second time to preach this message. The first time I preached, it was down in Birmingham, Alabama, at a missions conference. They asked me to come. I'm one of their missionaries. And I preached this message. And afterwards, there was a pastor from another church that retired, and he came and he was visiting. And he said, "Brother Birch, I got a good illustration for you for that point." He said, "My wife and I retired. We still preach and do things." He said, "But we were spending some time in Wilmington, North Carolina, on the beach." And he said, "We were at a restaurant waiting outside to get in. And He said, I saw this lady. There was no security or anything, but I saw this lady, and I'm like, honey, that's Janet Reno. I am sure that woman is Janet Reno. And they kept watching and looking, and she's trying to stop. You know how women try to get men to stop doing that stuff, you know. But it doesn't work for ladies, you know. And so this pastor gets the nerve up, and he finds a gospel track, goes back to his car and get a track, and he walks up to her, and he says, ma'am, he said, you look like, I'm not trying to insult you or praise you, but however you want to take that, he said, but you look like, she said, I'm Janet Reno, before he could say it. He said, I thought that was you. And he said, my name is such and such, and I'm a Baptist preacher and been preaching for how many ever years. And he said, I'd like to tell you something. He said, when Washington, D.C. has used you up, exploited you, and they have given and taken all they can give and take, and you're done with that lifestyle, I want you to know there's a loving Savior who loves you and wants to save you. And he's waiting for you. And this is a tract from our church, and I want you to take that. It's about Jesus Christ. And he handed the tract, and she teared up, and tears started coming out of her eyes. And she said, Mr. Such and Such, thank you for sharing Jesus with me today. And turned around and walked in the restaurant. You know, prejudiceness is still in America. And unfortunately, the biggest prejudices is in God's house, where we have labeled people that are unsaved, that desperately need the gospel. Oh, they may look like earrings all over their face and different color hair and tattoos all over their body. And we just sort of, when the truth is, we need to understand that's exactly where God's Spirit might want to move. And if He lives in me and He lives in you, then don't you think that's what we ought to be about? Oh, yeah, we can do that by giving to missions and sending others to foreign fields. But we can do that right here, because right here in Wilmington, there is some dark places, and there are some waters, some people that maybe God does want to save them. Maybe God does want to change them. Amen? That's where God's Spirit likes to move. I've got another second half to the sermon, but I'm not going to give that portion this morning. We could go to the New Testament and show you everything I just showed you in the book of John. It just really laid out there. But instead, I want to close with a quick illustration. I was in South Africa, as I told you earlier, and we were 2 weeks there starting RUs. During the day, we had training. And at nighttime, they set up a tent in an area that had no Baptist church. And Pastor and I preached every night. I preached the first sermon, 35 minutes long, and it was a gospel message. And we had many, many people saved. Hundreds and thousands attended this meeting, and it grew every night. And then Pastor would talk about starting a church. I had the privilege to go back there this past year in October. And that church is running about 200 now. And a solid church, and God got a pastor, and things are going great. And this man, who's a native of South Africa, he's a missionary from South Africa. He was at every night's meeting. He would come ask me the illustrations, and he'd write them down, and our hearts were knit together. And the last night, he walked up to me and said, Mr. Birch, can I give you an illustration from South Africa? I said, yeah, I love illustrations. Go. And he pulled out a bag like this. Brother Schindelberger, will you help me? He pulled out a bag like this, and he opened it up, and he said, now these bags in South Africa, I know y'all call them bags in America. He said, but these are called checkers. He said, there was a store that opened here, you know, 15 years ago. There was a big chain food store, and they bought these plastic bags in. But because that store's name was Checker, and they were the first one to do it, they just call them Checker. So no matter where you go, if you want something to put your groceries in, you have to ask for Checkers. Sometimes you have to pay for them. Sometimes they're free. And he said, we're all born with a checker. We all have a heart. And he says, in that checker is all kinds of things that shouldn't be in there. I mean, we've done some things we shouldn't have done. We've said some things we shouldn't have said. We've acted in ways we shouldn't have acted. And we've all have sin. And boy, he's filling this checker up with all the you know, the examples of what we've done wrong. He said, then we start feeling bad about those things, Pastor. And he said, we start trying to put some good things in there, some good, clean things, like goodwill. But there's a difference between goodwill and God's will. And he started putting those things in there. And he said, but you know, the Bible tells us that even our righteousness, even the good things we do in ourselves, are filthy as rags. That's difficult for me to explain in mixed company. I'm just being honest with you. I would not go there with the words I would have to use and the imagery I'd have to present. But something very similar to that can be mentioned in the New Testament. The New Testament, the Apostle Paul was not talking about all the bad things he'd done to God. He was talking about all the good things he'd done in his own power. And he says, I count them all but dung for the cause of Christ. Filthy rags and human waste. He said, that's what God sees in our bag, in our checker. He said, but there was another one that came. And the whole reason that he came was so he could get a checker, so he could get a record, an account. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he came to earth, and he who knew no sin, he had no unrighteousness. In fact, everything he did was recorded by God as good. Everything he did was recorded as righteousness. Amen. That was his testimony. In fact, the judges of the land said, we find no fault in him. We can't find anything wrong with him. He's done nothing wrong. Oh, what a Savior. And he came and he recognized every one of us from all of mankind, everyone born of Adam, were born in this condition with sin. And therefore, the Bible says in Revelation 21 that nobody goes to heaven like this with this kind of record. Nobody. And so he's the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He's Jesus Christ. He came and he's righteous and he's pure. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. He died on a cross called Calvary, not for anything he done wrong. In fact, the fact that he died, he didn't die. The wages of sin is death. He didn't die because of his sin. He died because of your sin. Amen. He was buried. But 3 days later, he arose from the dead. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Bible teaches us to everyone that believeth this, he is willing to take your unrighteousness and everything that self-righteousness contains in you. He's willing to take all of that and exchange it for his imputed righteousness. All you have to do is ask him, desire it, trust him, receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. And he's willing to make that exchange and make that trade. But you know, Brother Schindenberger, he didn't stop right there. If that's all he did, I had a good illustration. I was going to use it for the next how many ever months or years. But he went on. And remember, I'm the RU International Director, and what he said next startled me. He said, Mr. Schindenberger, when you get saved as a Christian, he said, did you know Christians do things they shouldn't do? Do Christians say things they shouldn't say and act in ways they shouldn't act? He said, where do those sins go as a Christian? When you do wrong, where do they go? And he had that same weird look on his face that he has on his face right now. I did. I was afraid kind of to answer. You know, I knew it was under the blood. But he made it real simple for me. He said, I already told you they go in your bag. But who's got your bag? And we know what he did with it. He separated from you as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God. I'm living eternally because all of my sins are gone. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. as I think of Romans 12, 1 and Romans, where it says, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the... See, that's the mental thing, the mindset. I'm in Christ. I need to walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. The mindset. 1 John 1, 9, when we sin, we need to confess our sins. It doesn't say to ask forgiveness. It says to confess, to agree with God. The rest of that verse is the reality of what He's done for me the moment I got saved. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I took that illustration, Brother Schindenberger, and I carry these bags or some like them everywhere I go. I began to write down the people's names that I started leading to Christ in the 12 months after I learned that illustration. I've got a list on my iPad up there, 371 names have come to Christ because they wanted to make the trade. They were ready to make the exchange. I don't want my sin. I want the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not me. I'm just telling you. God's Spirit likes to move getting the gospel to other people. I showed you that today. Take the illustration. Go get the Walmart bags. And on airplanes and restaurants. One time I was down in North Carolina preaching, and I was with the preacher, and the waitress came over, and we struck up a conversation, and she was busy, and I said, I'd love to show you how you can know for sure when you die you go to heaven. And it's a free gift. And she said, I like free gifts. She said, I'm going on break in 10 minutes. I didn't have a bag. I went next door to a little store there, and they gave me two very beautiful bags. I mean, they were like gift bags. I mean, just white, beautiful bags, probably $3 or $4 bags. And so I bought these bags in the restaurant. She was on break. She came and sat down. I give her a bag. I got a bag. Next thing I know, three other waitresses who are working come over there like, what's she getting that I don't have? I said, sit down, I'll show you. That day, all four of those waitresses trusted Christ as Savior. Man, alive. I was on a plane coming back from Denver, Colorado. Lawyer sitting beside me. We struck up a conversation. I talked to him about a gift and reached in my bag. I was in storage up there, and I pulled out two bags and my Bible. A little while later, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as Savior. Goes to a church just outside of Denver, a church that has an RU program. Pastor called me, got baptized. He joined that church with his family. His wife had been saved, praying for her husband, praying and praying and praying and praying for her lost husband. Now, you know, I just want to be where God's Spirit's moving. He lives inside of me. I showed you this morning where He likes to move. So I'd like to move along with Him. I want to be filled with where He's moving. I want my money to go where He's moving. I want to put my shoes on and follow where He's moving. How about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Father, we thank You for the message we heard. We thank You, Lord, for the challenge of how the Spirit moves, looking to move in places where sometimes we don't even think possible or likely. But yet, Lord, we know You're a God who wants to save. You're a God who wants to use us to share the gospel, win people to Christ. We thank You for the programs that we've been able to use, in particular the RU program, and we just pray that You continue to use us to preach and teach the Word of God. Our heads are bowed.